Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Welcome to our co-hosts tonight, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, its Managing Director.
Good evening.
So our Plan Lehigh Valley show tonight looks at how development evolved in 2024, a year when housing proposals surged, medicine played a key role, and industrial continued its decade-long impact on the Lehigh Valley development market. Our guest for the show is LVPC Regional Planner Joey Doda. Joey joined the LVPC in 2023 after receiving his Master of Public Policy from Lehigh University, where he focused on equitable community development, the economics of planning, and just about everything, politics. He has been working on the region's housing supply and attainability strategy and has become an expert on the regional industrial development market. A Las Vegas native now living in Allentown, Doda also serves as the Commission's parliamentarian, organizing and running the Commission monthly public meetings. Now that's a title I would like to have one day. Welcome, Joey. Matt, so give us a quick overview of the 2024 development year.
So every year, we are required to deliver an annual report of all of our activities by March 1st. You know, and everything from land use and environment, transportation, even communication. So we're supposed to deliver that by March 1st as part of the state law. But we're going to talk about 2024 activities with a focus on development proposals, what happened during last year. You know, as the only entity that really gets every single development plan in Northampton and Lehigh counties, we kind of have a unique view of things. We get to see all the trends. And so nationwide, you can see that, you know, the Federal Reserve's, you know, attempts to tame interest rates, they did make most communities take a step back in development. But we are a little different in most regions for a couple of reasons, and that didn't really happen for us. We've been growing consistently for seven decades. We have a serious housing shortage. We're still very attractive to new people and businesses. You know, so we're seeing an adjustment to the markets, but an adjustment that our communities are sort of preparing for, and they're making changes to the regulations, but we're still seeing a ton of development. So it gives us a really good chance to sort of take this perpetual look at the balance we're trying to strike of development coming in and our communities sort of preparing for it and trying to preserve all the things everybody loves, like open space and farmland and natural resources. So despite what might be happening in other parts of the country and in other parts of the state, we still had a very busy development year, and we're going to look at some of the details and the numbers of that development year today.
Okay, great. Becky, why does the LVPC compile all this data? How is it ultimately used?
We are the only entity as the Bi-County Planning Commission that sees every subdivision and land development plan. As a result of that, we have a unique ability to track development. We use that, and then we obviously report on that and share that out to the community. But we use that to create things like the regional comprehensive plan, because it allows us to see where things are growing, where they're not. We match that up to things like sewer and water availability, capacity of the road infrastructure. What's the school populations? We look at all sorts of demographic data against the development data, and we actually are pretty accurate in predicting where development can go. And then we are able to work with local governments and being able to make sure that they are working towards the maintenance and protection of the region's quality of life, as well as hopefully enhancing the Lehigh Valley as a great place to live, work, and recreate. So we use the information for a lot of purposes that then support other people. I mentioned local governments, but developers absolutely love it. So do realtors, so do site selectors for economic development and business investments, because they can use the information to see where things are and where things are going. So it has a lot of purposes. I'll throw the nonprofit sector in there too. because we work with a lot of nonprofit entities, AARP Pennsylvania, United Way of the Lehigh Valley, on walk audits and other programs on transportation safety. And we can use that information to ID where you have high densities of employees, high densities of retirees, of younger people, and where you may need to enhance crosswalk or sidewalk infrastructure. So there's a whole host of reasons why we collect this data. And because of our unique role in being advisors to our local governments per state statute, we can then assemble and disseminate that information out to everyone.
Wow, that's an incredible resource for everybody in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. I mean, if you're talking about bringing business into the community, new business, that's really valuable.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope it is, right? Like, that's our ultimate goal. It's actually in our mission to provide consistent quality data to the community, as well as analytics, so the best decisions can be made, right? And the goal is always for people to make the best decisions with the highest quality information. And right. We provide a very important role in that. And so the idea is that it would help everyone.
All right. Now, the Lehigh Valley remains in a serious housing shortage. Did 2024 do anything to change that?
It did to some extent. And I mean, this is where the development community and some of our local governments have been working together. And I believe they will continue to. And it's going to support some of the stuff that Joey and Jill Seitz and Mary Grace in our office are working on. But there were 6,300 units proposed for development last year. Most of those were apartments, the majority of them were apartments at 3,601 apartments. But we did, for the first time in a while since the early 2000s, see a substantial increase in the number of single family detached homes, almost 1,300. And then we had a mix of everything from townhomes and twins to condos, which we don't see a lot of. We actually had 201 condos last year, which is sort of a anomaly. And I mean, maybe that turns into a trend. 66 manufactured homes and then 62 assisted living units. So that was the second most housing units overall, that 6,386 units proposed last year, since 2007. So that was right at the height of that big building boom in the early 2000s. So that, I think, is important to note. Now, that was just what was proposed, but 2,755 of those units have been approved so far. Development proposals, especially if they're large, take a number of months to go through the land use approval process at the local government level. They may need PennDOT approvals for various things or Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, depending on the scale and intensity and specific impacts of the development that development proposes on a specific site or things around it. There is usually a lag between when things are proposed and when they're approved. Though in the Lehigh Valley, most things that are proposed do eventually become approved. One other thing that Matt brought to my attention earlier this week was on that single family detached house number that we saw in 2024. 646 single-family detached homes were approved in 2024 for development. So that's roughly half of the ones that were proposed, which is a much higher rate than housing overall. So we're going to watch that and see if we're starting to see a slight resurgence in the single-family home in terms of construction. So I think that kind of gives an overall summary of what happened last year. But I did want to underscore that we're still 9,000 housing units short today, and that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission released a whole housing assessment community by community earlier in February. And it's available at lvpc.org/housing, where you can literally go and select the community that you live in, little drop down in the upper right hand corner. And whatever community it is, from, you know, Upper Nazareth to Lower McCungie Township to Allentown to Weisenberg Township or Williams Township, so any of our boroughs, you can select it and it'll tell you how many units you're short today, if any. And if your population continues to grow at the same rate that it has over the last 50 years, how many units you're going to need by 2050. And then it'll tell you things like, can you afford to live there if you're a teacher or if you're a retail worker or if you're a lawyer? And I think people will be really shocked to see how many communities that their kids can't afford to get a starter home in. And so we'll be obviously working more on that. But I did want to mention that in the context of the development communities already responding to that. And so are our local governments. And that's why we're continuing to work together and do a little bit more work together through our housing supply and attainability work, so we can continue to increase housing where it makes sense to increase it, where it's needed, and where we have the infrastructure to support it.
Now, you mentioned apartments, that there's a lot of those coming in. Why do you think that is happening?
Oh, there's so many reasons for apartments. So I think at this point, I mean, probably between Jill, Joey, and I, we could teach a PhD class on it. But I want to start with the economics of apartments. You can make a lot of money off apartments if you develop them. So that's one component of it. You also have a shortage of units overall. So if people can't buy a unit, they're forced to go into a rental unit. So there's immense demand because there's a very large deficit of ownership units. In addition, you have factors like debt to income ratio. You have higher transiency in employment. So someone might be working here right now, but 2 years from now might be down in Houston, Texas, and 2 years after that might be in Seattle, Washington. Like, you know, people move around, though people don't necessarily like to do that to a great extent. But the more connected we are to a national economy and a global economy, the more likely things like that are to happen. So people will choose not to buy regardless of how much money they make. I mean, that's a factor too. But I think the debt to income ratio of younger people is important to understand. And I want to preface that with this. You have Gen X, you know, people born between like really the late 60s, you know, early 70s and like 1980, 81 timeframe, give or take. So they're in their peak, you know, they're in their 40s and 50s. They're in their peak earning years. Many of them still have student loan debt. Plus, now they have children entering into college. College costs have gone up so much, so they're being asked to take out second mortgages, home equity, lines of credit, home equity loans, and other things to help offset their children's college costs. So in some regards, it doesn't matter that they're in their high income years because they still have enormous debt to income ratios, and then they're accruing more debt if their children are potentially going to college. And I don't mean these are necessarily fancy colleges. These are, you know, colleges. The cost is, you know, anywhere. They're very, very high. The other thing I think that's important to note is then you hit the millennials. They've got kids. A lot of them, it took them a while to get into the housing market. You know, it might have been three times their income to start to get into it. Some of them are just starting to get into the housing market now, and they're in their early 40s, right? And that wasn't a trend that you saw with baby boomers when you only needed two times your income to get into housing. And then it was, you know, roughly 2.5 times your income for Gen X. Millennials, it's, you know, three times your income. Now you hit Gen Z. They're in the workforce now. Some are still in college. But, you know, you got about half of them in the workforce now. They need four times the income to afford the same home that a baby boomer could afford. So they have to save more money for longer, also have very high debt to income ratios. So, I mean, we're talking about a three generation long-term problem that's really started to come to a head. All of that feeds the need for rentals. Then you throw the baby boomers, wealthiest generation in recorded world history, as far as it was recorded back. They don't necessarily want to own because they want to hang out and enjoy their retirement. And a vast majority of them are retired at this point, though some of them are definitely working longer. They want to get out of their big houses, but they don't necessarily have any place to go. And they're very much in an ownership culture. So, you know, they might be selling a home for $500,000, but they're going to get half that house for $500,000 to purchase it now, right? So everyone's stuck, if that makes sense. Everyone's absolutely stuck. And because of the growth in the region, it is fueling all over the place the rental market. And that's why you see some one-bedroom and two-bedroom apartment complexes priced higher than similar units in the city of Philadelphia.
You're absolutely right. You could teach a PhD course on this.
It's probably bored you all.
No, it's a lot of information about one little topic that you don't think there's that much that goes into it. So Joey, let's switch to non-residential development. What did you see happening in 2024?
Yeah, definitely. So the LVPC reviewed 12.7 million total square feet of non-residential in 2024. The bulk of that was about 9.27 million square feet of industrial space. So that's your warehouse and manufacturing. And then right below that would be 1.2 million public, quasi-public. So that's kind of your schools, healthcare facilities, and the such. And then below that is commercial at about 860,000. Specific note about that is that number is relatively consistent of a few, like, past few years. But within that is four new hotels proposed in 2024, kind of illustrating a broader trend of Lehigh Valley becoming a destination. And with different, like, recreation activities and the such. So below that number would be 480,000 square feet transportation and just over 412,000 square feet of office, which that's also a unique kind of trend we're seeing is with post-pandemic world, a lot of people shifting to remote or hybrid work. Office numbers have been down and it's mostly been kept up by medical offices. Medical offices have remained constant and are now the majority with over three-fourths of office proposals being medical offices. And then kind of to round out more like the overall numbers of development trends that we've seen or development numbers, about 193,000 square feet of recreation space, 146,000 square feet of retail space, and 98,000 square feet of agricultural space. All to illustrate that it's been a very busy year in the Lehigh Valley across sectors.
Now, did you see any trends emerge for the year?
Yeah, I saw mostly, I'd say, three main trends. So the first one, kind of what I was talking about earlier, the medical offices making up most of the office proposals in 2024. And I would say the second trend is because a lot of the post-pandemic world, a lot of the industries have shifted and space is being occupied. We've seen more complex and challenging projects on more complex and challenging parcels. And what I mean by challenging is farther away from infrastructure, whether it be like water and sewer, or potentially farther away from road infrastructure. And that has really kind of led to a decline in the million square foot big box warehouses that we have seen in the past few years. And it's been an increase in 50,000 to 450,000 square feet warehouses and industrial spaces. And there's also been an increase in subleasing activity within already built out spaces. So we've generally just seen a trend of the industrial market right-sizing in a post-pandemic world. And then lastly, I would say a big trend that we saw was the Lehigh Valley identity has always been healthcare, or not always been, but has recently been healthcare and education. And that likely is remain constant as we saw lots of educational facilities expanding. So we saw a redevelopment of elementary schools, a redevelopment of historic sites into educational facilities. And that even goes up to different like university centers having like rehabilitations and expansions. And then we also saw different campuses for our health networks expand. So we saw a 340,000 square foot expansion of one of the Bethlehem Township campuses. And we also saw an entire emergency department expansion also for the Lehigh Valley Hospital Network. So generally just expansion of industries and people investing into the Lehigh Valley.
So what about the industrial development? Is this still a hot market for warehouse and logistics?
Definitely, yeah. post-pandemic world, we kind of saw a surge in development proposals in the industrial and warehouse space. So it has tapered off from that spike that we saw post-pandemic, but relatively to our pre-pandemic numbers, we are still incredibly busy. That 9.27 million square foot number is still way higher than we saw 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we saw just under 6 million square feet. So we're still seeing lots of activity, and that activity is becoming more complex, like I said, with the challenges of infrastructure. And there's also different uses as well. We're seeing like cryptocurrency mining centers, data centers, different considerations, and different ways that we have to provide our expertise for different industries. Numbers-wise, our market has remained hot. We are one of the largest and most accessible industrial markets in the area. Our asking lease rate per foot is about $12, just under, and that's about $3 to $5 above our neighboring regions along like the I-81, I-78 corridors.
You know what's interesting about that, and Joey saying that, is it's basically double what it was in 2020. So that tells you that the demand is there. If you're able to double your annual per square foot cost in roughly like 5 years.
Now, that goes to my next question, which is, the Lehigh Valley has been in a hot development market for a decade. With elevated interest rates, development has slowed across the nation. Do you expect to see that happening here in the future?
I mean, everything has a cycle, right? And it'd be ridiculous to assume that it's gonna go on forever. Do I think that we have a sense of stability here that other places don't? Yes. And a lot of that has to do with the diversification of not only our population, and the different forms of living that we have, but the different types of jobs that people in our community hold, as well as the different types of businesses and industry that we have. We do have a significant level of diversification. Do I think it could be more? Yeah, like you always want to have more. But that does help us buffer ourselves from economic cycles. I want to talk about high interest rates for a moment. They really aren't high if you compare them to trends going from, the 1970s to now. They were kept abnormally low for an extended period of time to help the United States recover from that housing downturn in the 2000s, right? And then all of a sudden, we had a huge jump in inflation. So things are costing more. So you need more money to buy it. Plus, money is more expensive. So it's a combination of factors that are driving our inflationary economy. Do I think that any of us can predict what's going to happen next accurately? No, not really. But there's a lot of people that make a lot of money saying that they can. Maybe I should be one of them. But that aside, all kidding aside, you have to take the fact that if you look at the length of economic cycle, we're in a very different period of time. And I don't believe that the rapid development that we've seen in the last 5 years is necessarily going to be the same in the next five. Do I think development's going to slow? No, pending some like major global or national economic change. But I do think it will be different. And I think Joey outlined some really important points of why it will be different. And we just don't have big parcels for some of this stuff readily available anymore. But I mean, he mentioned, I think you mentioned some infill and some other things. So, I mean, so there's a lot of different types of development, some of it smaller, some of it medium size, a few large things. But we're getting a lot more diversity of development. That is absolutely a good sign. That's a sign of a matured region. Our local governments, I can't remember, did they put forward like it was over 50 code amendments?
Yeah, leaning to the complexity of developments, municipalities are rising to the challenge. And we have seen plenty of different municipal ordinance changes, amendments, they're updating their official maps, their zoning maps. It's really just kind of been an illustrative change. Oh, I found the number 55 municipal ordinance maps and plan reviews. So municipalities are rising to the challenge and the adapting environment that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think too, one of the points is they're not just changing them, but they're making their ordinances more mature. So they're saying, okay, you know what? Let's really refine where development can be supported. And they're really going through, you know, very surgically most of our communities and saying, okay, well, you know what? These types of uses make more sense here. They're also writing more specific development definitions. So things that kind of got a few of the communities back in the big warehouse boom just a couple of years ago, where they just had everything in a general industrial district, they realized that wasn't, you know, the best answer anymore. And so most of them realized, okay, we need to have specific definitions for specific types of industrial uses, because all industrial is not, you know, the same. Like a quarry is very different than a high cube automated warehouse that's roughly 10 stories high, right? So, you know, and those are both very intensive uses, but there's all different levels of intensity of industrial, even inside those sort of anonymous looking modern kind of industrial box buildings. So they're doing that level of refinement so they can still maintain, you know, not only their local economy, but it supports our regional economy, our state economy, our national economy. But they're making those refinements for a whole host of reasons. And, you know, the economic factor is certainly one of them.
Well, we're almost at our time this evening, or I feel like we could keep going on a couple different tangents here, and maybe we'll dig into that throughout the year on this podcast. But why don't we close out with Matt telling us where people can find this information? There's so much of it. I'm sure there's plenty of people who can use it. Where would they find the data?
In general, lvpc.org has a lot of stuff. We have a development snapshot, so you almost can see a monthly snapshot of all of these. There's also some snapshots on there for the annual, like what you can see for the full year. And fairly soon, we're just finishing up our annual report, which has this data and a bunch of others. That'll be on there as well, lvpc.org. The annual report, probably in a week or so, we'll get that up there, and you'll see this data and just a bunch of others, and you will have more data than you can handle. And I think in one of the fairly soon shows, we're going to talk more about housing. And I got to say, that housing website that Becky mentioned earlier at lvpc.org/housing, I've been here 8 years. It may be the coolest thing we've ever done. You could spend a whole afternoon getting lost in that thing.
Okay.
So for those that are sort of data nuts, that's the place to go.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you, Becky, Bradley, Matt Assad, and Joey Dota for your time this evening. If you'd like to listen to this program again, please go to wdiy.org, the WDIY app, or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, and you are listening to WDIY 88.1. Good night.